Ooh, what a glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on, Shitanamo. You're all come on, Shitanamo. I love you. 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 Oh, I love you. I praise you. Glory, Kappa Shatanamo. Come on, Shatanamo Shimo. Oba Shatanamo. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you come a sheep of us, not the name of sheep of us. Oh, my sheep, hear my voice. But yea, I say many are not my sheep no longer because they do not hear my voice. I say they're going to some other. I say they yield themselves to the natural. Their spirit of this first spirit that they knew, the spirit of the enemy. And I say they have come from knowing me to head knowledge. They come into the place that they have great learning. They become the place they have great knowledge. They have the answer for everything. For every question they have an answer for. But I say they know nothing, says the Spirit of God. For those type of people, I will say, says the Spirit of God, they're very limited in what they can do. Their leadership is from another place, another way. From that place where I brought them out of, and they forgotten how they were redeemed. They were set free. They had no life. They had no hope. Yet I set them free. And they took that time, and they rejoiced in themselves. They rejoiced in the things that they heard from unrighteousness, and they adapted it in to be their philosophy. They brought it in the place of great education, of great understanding. And they even said if people didn't, the others did not go their way, they could not make it. But I say they're in a great big lie, in untruth. They're walking as zombies with tuxedos, the greatest attire that man can afford, and yet they're without hope. They would not like to hear what I'm saying. And they would not even listen to it. That's why it's been said. Because someday, when they stand before me, this very service will be recorded before them. And they will know without a doubt that day that I had a remnant. I call for people to walk in holiness. I will call for people who will hear my voice. But they're far from me. But yet they one time knew me. They had great flocks of my people behind them. And I say they still do. But I say when they stand before me in judgment day, they're going to be stand accountable for their people. They're going to stand in wanting because they'll be in first in line for eternal judgment from righteousness. They'll have many years to think about what's going to take place because there will be no ending of what they'll see, what they'll feel. I say that time is very short. It's very close to that hour when men were to be ready. But I look the world over. I don't see a lot. I see many that have a real work, but yet there's places in their part that they're absent. They're still trying to do most of the effort within themselves. But my people, which are called by my name, they're going to allow me to move in them. The same as I'm doing from the man that's speaking. Himself, he's nothing. But that's what I wish my church to be. Because this world is so sinful, unless that takes place, they will not move out, do anything for righteousness. It'll come back as unrighteousness. It'll come back as sin. And sin is at the door. And my people, you should wake up this day because I say my coming is soon. I say my son is coming back and my glory of my spirit has been removed. And perilous times are coming. I say it's about time the Antichrist to come, to take over. At that time, you're going to be wary and wanting. You're going to be very ashamed. You're going to be naked because your righteousness is going to be no longer there to cover you. And you need that righteousness to cover you at that hour because if you do not have that righteousness, you'll be naked. And the enemy will take you at his will. And I say, my coming is soon. Look up, my ones, because I love you. Seek me, and you shall surely find me, for I love thee, my ones. Seek me in my strength forevermore, for I love you, says the Spirit of God. Oh, gosh. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Father, just pray for the people of the world. They must be in terrible shape. I pray that you'll deliver them. Somehow, set them free. Lord God, let their souls be saved somehow. Lord, I know I have not a right to even ask you, but be merciful. Please be merciful if you can, Father. Oh, Lord, I have many loved ones and friends, too. I know that I want them to be spared from eternity's door because it's very close, very at that moment. And Father, I just pray that you move through the Spirit to this service today. I pray that I'll speak the right words and I'll do your will. It's only you can enable me. I can't do nothing in myself. My strength, my hope is all in you this day. And I just give you, you're so wonderful, and I give you praise, glory, and honor. And I thank you for what you showed me this day. I thank you for all you do. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, I thank you three for all you do, because I thank you for your keeping power. I thank you for that hope that you are. And I praise you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. All its glory goes to you. Amen forever. Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. Praise the Lord. Already the Holy Ghost has moved on Brother Freedom in a wonderful way. We're just bowled over by his wonderful goodness. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, you're so beyond our imagination. We can't even know or understand. You're so beyond. We're like less than ants compared to you. You're so glorious. Thank you, Father, that you take care of everything. If we'll just let you, and Lord, we let you. We let you do everything. We want you to run the whole everything. Lord, use us. We're just glad to be little teeny wheels. Thank you for any little thing you let us do, but oh, Lord, help us to please you. Thank you for how you're touching Brother Freedom. Thank you for the great revelation you've already given him today. Earlier this day, you were speaking to him mightily. Lord, let these truths come out just as it would please you. We just thank you and we praise you, Lord. Touch the hearts of the listeners, Lord. People out there are so needy, as you know better than we do. We pray, Father, that they'll trust in you and believe and put all their faith in you and you alone, that there'll be miracles out there and change lives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
P.S. Thank you for the good weather. We're so fortunate.
Yes, we have wonderful weather here, which we do not deserve. Oh, Lord, we thank you for how you cooled down, take away the heat even, and the rain that you've sent. We just praise you, praise you, praise you. We don't deserve it. Other parts of the country are having horrible weather. Lord, you understand these things. We don't, but we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now turning to the book of Nahum, beginning with chapter 1, verse 3 and following. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. We turn now to Psalm 33. Beginning with verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, And he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. And now turning to Psalm 91, the last few verses, verse 9 and following. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, in the Most High, thy habitation. Father God, we just pray that you'll bless these words. I pray, Kabashikam, or some of the power of God to come down. Those who won't hear this day, let them hear. And those that won't hear, it's going to be recorded that day as you spoke. It's going to be heard up there. So I pray, Father, that your will be done mightily. It'll come out just exactly like you want it to come out. Because you have a nobody here. And I praise you because you're so wonderful. When I started out, I knew that I could not be do nothing. And by little, you took me out. By little, you taught me. Oh, how you taught me, Father God. You told me what things were. And I listened. And every time I have to say I listened to you. And that's all. When I was in the military, I did good in the military because I listened what people told me. And I did what they told me. And that's all it is with you. That's all we have to do. We wait for you to tell us. When you tell us, we do it. And when we don't have nothing to do, we just sit there and wait upon you. That's what the schedule is. And that schedule is so easy. You don't do anything. You haven't done all to stand. Very simple. You wait upon the Lord. But the earth does not go that way. I see it, and you do too. Father, I just pray that you touch the hearts of your people. Those this day that love me, I pray that you move upon their hearts in a very special way. If they have needs, if they have... they need a miracle. I pray this day that you might insert a miracle in their life, if it be thy will. I pray that you perform great and mighty things to uphold your high kingdom, that you're God of God. And I pray you lift that up, courage those this day that need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even, that word even, the Most High, thy habitation. See, we have to do that. We got to come to that place. We just do exactly what this, that the Lord is my refuge. In Nahum, he says, the Lord is good. And truly, there's nothing in this world that competes with the Lord. He is so good, so wonderful, so glorious, so beautiful. He gives you the good things. Oh, praise God. He, the blessings of the Lord make the rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Oh, he is that wonderful. It's something that our bodies need. You have not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Because you're a good God. God is good. And Father, you so love us that you give your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was came from the good, the Lord is good. You're good. And it didn't stop then. You sent Jesus down upon this earth, and he gave his life. Oh, Lord, that mankind could live. And he would put upon that cross without sin. Oh, Lord, as he bared our sins, how he went before all parts of darkness, and he stood true to you, and how they speared him. They done terrible things. They pulled his beard out. How they mocked him and spoke ugly about him, and how they still do. But yet he opened not his mouth. He was that supreme sacrifice that paid for the world this day. When they're out of order, he can get them in order if they believe on his name. It's because we have to believe on his name. But his name means holiness. His name means sanctification. And the church is so instituted that you don't have to have either. You don't have to be sanctified. You don't have to be holy. The people of that way are not, they're misfits. But I want to believe that that's what Jesus wanted. Because I was reading in Luke the other day, he said, he that believeth on that loveth his father or his mother or sister's brother more than me is not worthy to fit the kingdom of heaven, not to be his disciple. He goes down farther. He said, would a man go build something unless he had enough money to finish up, lest the other people come back and laugh at it? When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's got to work in you that your life be built on the solid rock, Lord Jesus Christ. And you, if you fail, you're not fulfilling the fulfillment of your calling, because God wants you to build a vessel of praise, a vessel of honor. Oh, praise God. Beseech you, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's no more than, it's just a reasonable service. Brothers and sisters out there, and everybody says, oh, it can't happen. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you walk through the Spirit, it can be done. You don't have a desire no longer to sin. You hate the iniquity because that's, you take on the Father's nature. When you first come to Jesus, you take on, and you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you put on divine nature. You put on what God's made of. And surely in yourself, you cannot handle. The oppression will come against you. You can't handle the problems you're going to face. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you put on His righteousness, you take on His nature, you're going to be fit to grow into a vessel of praise. If you grow into a vessel. Hear me. You grow into a vessel. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes day by day, seeking God, calling upon Him, waiting upon Him, seeking Him day by day. As you start growing up, your feathers of your protection guts getting deeper, and you get strong in the Lord and the power of God, you put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. See, the Lord takes care of us as we progress. And that progression, He will not allow the enemy to go so far. He won't make you do 10 years from now what He does now. You have to do more. We need to learn that. And as long as we become an overcomer, that's all God cares for. But I want to do the best. I want to walk worthy unto all pleasing. His caution says that I might please Him in everything that I do, everything that I say. And I believe it's what the Lord wishes for us. Because Israel, they could not go into the promised land because of unbelief and because they were not thanking God, being thankful. They were unthankful. And I see so many people that are unthankful. I thank God every day for being able to get around. You know, I'm in an apartment by myself, and I'm facing 80 years old, and I have to start about 7 o'clock at night, and I get done about 9 o'clock every night, just keeping my apartment up to halfway. 20 years ago, before I had the stroke, I could probably do it in 10 minutes. But I'm just I can't do it. Last night, I dropped something on the floor, and I had to spend about a half hour, an hour, clean it up. I didn't say nothing. But this thing I'm saying is, you get older, and once things happen to you, you need to be thank the Lord of your youth. The Bible talks about that you were to thank the Lord of your youth, the things that God has given us. How have we've been thankful back then? Because you may lose it someday. If you're not thankful for it, you may lose it. You may not have that good, and you may come up with a problem. And you may want to get healed when God says, we're going to have to live with your problem because you did not want to serve me. And God puts it on us too, because it's better to make heaven than to have everything here, the greatest house, the greatest ball, the greatest things. The greatest thing that we can have eternal life. And that's what God's interested in, is this healing sometimes just brings us down that we'll lose our first love. We get a little bit haughty. We thought we're somebody because we got healed. And that's what happened. We're not thankful, and we take it as a reverse method that we tantalize it. Oh, we can't get healed. We must not be right with God. No, that's not. We don't judge. We got to not judge people. That's God's department. And that's where we need to realize that even getting right with God, no man can tell you you've got the Holy Spirit. Nobody. That's God's department. If you say that someone's got the Spirit, you don't know. You're a liar. The Lord told me to tell you that. Any man that does, now he can give you the Spirit upon you and tell you that, then you know it. But I'm saying, just yourself, you cannot know it. The Spirit's there because God is God. And he wants us to reverence him as God. He don't want us to just take it commonplace as, oh, I'm so wonderful. No, that's pride. You're not going to enter in with pride. And then you can't enter in with jealousy. Being jealous, your neighbor outdid you. You know, you want to uplift you want to encourage your neighbor. You want to bless him. You want to tell him, oh, I praise God for you. I thank you. Oh, I got to tell a fellow this day. I said, I'm thankful what you've done. I thank you what you help people out. It did my heart good because it was true what I told him. And we should encourage people in the things of the Lord. If we go around and slander people and say bad words about people, the Bible says, judge not that we not be judged. For what judgment we judge, we're going to be judged. So we need to be careful what we say. We need to walk, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let our words be few. Let our words be led by the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in my sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, praise God, life and death in the power of the thumb. They that love it shall eat the fruit of the, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things. We don't call upon the Lord, then we still expect great things to happen. We don't speak to him, and we just assume that we're perfect down here. We don't have to do nothing. But God says he sees us down here as souls of unrighteousness. He says that our goodness is this full filthy rag. It was God's love that keeps us walking here. And we need to keep on that armor every day that we need to take on that shield of faith. Oh, praise God that our covering would not confine us naked to depart the things that come from the enemy. He comes to kill, destroy, and steal. And I'll tell you, when you get a soul in yourself, you forget about the nakedness. You get so numb from the world around you, you forget that you're uncovered. And sin's on your side. And sin's in your heart. And sin's all over you. And you forget. And you say, you got a haughty spirit. Says, oh, and you just judge everybody. Oh, I wish I was not like them. The Bible talks about that. Talks about the young man who was going around and said he was better. But he said, the Bible said, be not like them. We're to have a humble spirit. That's one quality that God will not, we got to perfect that ourselves. God will help us. We'll be clothed with humility. Why did God say it? Because we need to be clothed with humility. If you don't realize what humility is, it's very meek, very, you don't talk unless you know what's the answer. You don't just jump up and say, I got the answer. No, you wait upon. You think through the Lord, but yourself, you wait upon God. You're not too eager to give the answers. That's waiting upon the Lord. And these people don't want to be out here first all the time. They begin very haughty. They walk in very angrily conditions sometimes because they get angered if they're not doing what they think they should be doing. The Bible says have no business with an angry person. Now we're seeing all the different parts of having on the robe of righteousness. That robe of righteousness gives you the Father's nature inside of it. If you don't have that robe of righteousness, that nature leaves you. That goes out pretty fast, that brotherly love, that charity. I start leaving you. And before you know it, you're blinded. You're blind. Your eyes are the last part that knows it. You think, well, oh, I'm just okay. But you find yourself naked. And that's what America is this day. We're very naked. We find ourselves, we looking up, and we see everybody else's troubles. We don't see about ourselves. We don't see, oh, I haven't prayed like I should. Oh, I haven't been very understanding when someone was hurting. All these things are the qualities that God wants a Christian to be alive in him. It's not just saying I'm alive, but living in a living vessel of praise that proclaims the goodness of God. And we proclaim that in actions, in our desires, in what we think. We think that things are good. Oh, praise God. We get all the trash out of our minds. We won't let it. We guard that. We guard ourselves from filthy imagination, the cesspools of this world, the laughter, the craziness, the junk that's in the world this day. People got to search and keep those things out of us. We gotta put a guard around us. forsaken those things. Those things get close, give it back and say, Lord, put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Take it, Satan, get it away from me. There's times when we have to say, in the name of Jesus, I pray, I draw nigh to God, and I resist that which I feel is not right. We have to consult with the Lord many times. We just can't assume that everything's okay. We got to take an accountability test continuously. Continually, well, that my steps are ordered by the Lord. That my delight is in Him. That I wait upon the Lord. That I wait upon His calling. That I do not presume something to be unless it's really there from the Lord. And with that, I see a lot of Christians that are presuming a lot of things. Oh, that I am the great pastor of the church of the unfaithful. And they are. They're unfaithful. Because we're doing it ourselves. The Lord, I know the Lord is sick and tired of it. And I'll tell you, we should have such a good feeling in your church that Kamashita, you wouldn't care who got up there because you know it's the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't be afraid of no one because it would be the Holy Ghost. We get so satisfied, so selfish, we don't want, that's why we change churches all the time. Oh, we want to be the kingpin. We want to be the head dog. And I'll tell you, we're getting a place where we're not going to be head of nothing. We're going to lose out and we're going to have a lowly life. Without the Lord. The Lord wants us to put ourselves down. Lord, He don't have to put us down. And if we lift up the things of the Lord, but we put down ourselves as nothing is special. Without the Lord, we're not nothing special. Without the Lord, as Apostle Paul said, lest we become a castaway. Lest we preach Jesus Christ Him crucified, and even with that, we become a castaway. If we don't preach even like the world does today, that nothing there, Brian said, even we preach that way, yet we can still be a castaway. If I quit this day, I can still be a castaway. It all waits upon the Lord. It's strictly God. I want to please Him every day. I would not want to please Him yesterday, but tomorrow I want to please Him if it comes. If tonight comes, I want to know that my heart was right with God. And I want to tell you, everyone out through the world today, you should take this to hear this. You don't worry about your brother, because if you stay where you should be, God will tell you how to minister to your brother. He'll tell you what to say. I've had time out of time, but wait upon the Lord, renew their strength, but they'll do more than that. They'll do great and mighty exploits because they wait upon God. That's what the church has been unfaithful, because they want to be a loud voiceless message going out that they know it all. They all are, and they've lost their way. The Bible says, come out from among it, be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll tell you, the church, I'm dealing with a young man right now. I know about him. He's in an institution trying to recover from alcohol. And about 5 or 6 years ago, he was my best person. He was right with me and everything. He was such a pleasant. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And I told him, I said, be careful. This church you're going to, there's a Pentecostal church. I said, be careful, because he played ball. And I said, be careful, because the ball team I've heard, and I think we should listen to what's going on sometime. I see it. Their people are having separation because of alcohol. And the family's suffering, and here they're playing ball, they're going to this church, and they're doing things that's not really right. And he didn't need to be around that type of crowd because he had a weakness. But he went on anyway. And now he's in a rehab. I just love this fellow, but he's away from God. Alcohol is literally eating him up, taking away his first love. And people out there throughout the world, this can happen to you. Not just alcohol. But any of these, you can get so involved in your boat, your car, your whatever it is, he becomes your first love, and you get so indoctrinated in that, you can't think about anything, and you can go to these old, rotten old places where they have gambling and all that. That's a place that Christians should stay away from. It says shun all those places. You'll not win back anything. You're not to take money that's not yours anyway. And they're going to get your money. Instead, they're going to put you in the poor farm if you continue to stay in there. You're going to live a life of not having enough provision to live. And then you'll call. We want to pray that God will help you to get out of your indebtedness, whatever comes your way. But because you haven't followed the leadership and the calling of God. This is why the church is in trouble. Because they live a slip-slod profession by their doctrine. They told their churches, many people, you can live like you live. Don't want a Holy Ghost in our church because we can't get our families and our people that we want. They live that they're not where they should be with God. Well, so we want them to come in. They feel at home. Well, I'll tell you, that's not for church. That's for a halfway house or something like that. But it's not for church because you've got to keep on the straight and narrow in church. You've got to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. If you turn away from the Holy Ghost, you're zoomed as a castaway. And I believe that's what Pastor Paul was saying, lest I become a castaway. And without the power of God, we become a castaway. I was reading a scripture today, and not by the works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing. Listen, the washing of the regeneration. That regeneration, that means renewing and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Without that Holy Ghost, you're zero. God spoke, but because of the zero in everybody's life against the Holy Ghost. They're ashamed. Glory to God. He is my power. He's my source. He is my everything. But if you cast out the powers of God in your church, you're a castaway. Your church is a castaway. That's what the Lord's been showing me. A lot of churches are just castaways. And I'll tell you, these old-time, old-fashioned, early churches that had nothing, they may come up standing the highest of all things because we come against the Holy Ghost. And that's a very strong point. And all Pentecostal people should be aware of this day, everybody, that you be careful how you live. That's what's taught to me when I received the baptism 50 years ago. It was more than that, 60 years, close to 60 years I've had. A long time since I had baptism. But be careful. Don't even receive it unless you want to live holy. Because the Holy Ghost, He lives within us. He lives within us. I read that today too, over and over and over. He lives in us. He resides in us. Because if we get unholy, He leaves us. What happens when He leaves us? We're empty. What happens when we're empty? Well, when we're empty, the enemy automatically comes in because he sees that room that's vacant. And he comes in that room, he comes in and he comes in and he says he'll bring seven other wicked ones in there. And you don't want him in there. No, you don't want him. But he comes in there, he's more wicked than you, and he's going to ladder in, you'll be duped out. That word duke, I mean, you'll not be in command no longer. He'll take over. He'll let you, the first way he comes in, he lets you think, oh, you're doing so wonderful. Oh, you know, that church you live in, that you there, they cannot do without you, yet you're far from the Spirit of God. So in yourself, you're trying to cover up. And that's more against God ever and ever. It gets more and more. It makes the enemy happier and happier. Oh, look how this Christian, how he's doing. Oh, he once had the love of God. He once was full of the Holy Ghost, and now he's sending nothing to it. Oh, it makes him so happy. This is happening. But a lot of those didn't have the first, many of them didn't have the first love anyway. There's a section of them that didn't have nothing. Yet their pastors or whoever their evangelists was so one numbers. I've heard them do this. I've seen them do it. They call people up for the baptism when the Holy Ghost moves upon you. You don't have to be called up when the Holy Ghost moves upon you. They've called up and then they said, oh, I'm going to pray for you that you're going to get it. And as soon as they pray, you got it. See, they're presuming something that's God's department. So simple. We're to do the other things that's in our department. We can go out and tell people to come and all those things, but we come against presuming what God's doing through the Spirit. We candy bar the door. That means stay away because it's God's department. It's not ours. Shun the very appearance of all evil. That's where you need to shun because that's the danger part. It's dangerous to presume of God by the Spirit, because that's God's department. You're literally telling God that you know more about Him than He does Himself. You're telling that young person he's okay when he's not okay. And that person will go on through life believing he got the Spirit of God when and I've come across them. They don't even know the Lord, many of them. They've lost what first love they have because they didn't see no growth. It's tragedy what happened unless you follow God all the way. It's all the way my Savior leads. Praise God, what a growth. We're like a tree. If it doesn't grow, it dies. Praise God, it's cut down. It's hewn. The Bible talks about, the cutting away, the old brush. We as God's people have to grow. We have to grow in the Lord. And that came by day, new dedication, new power, new praying through, new holiness. Praise God. But that's what it can't make. We have to maintain a growth in the Lord. God bless you all. I pray that God will bless you. I pray that you understand what I'm telling you. But as a mechanic, I know exactly what I'm saying because I understand these kind of things. The church world should understand it too. Your old engine's about wore out. You need to get an overhaul on it. And that overhaul consists of being full of the Holy Ghost. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
Oh, that's wonderful. All these wonderful truths from heaven and their life and death. Praise God for these wonderful revelations. Thank you, Father, for using Brother Freedom again. Lord, you're so wonderful. We give you praise and honor and glory. Touch the listener that they will not take this lightly. In Jesus' name, amen.